necessity of Jesus' baptism, kind of a maybe paradox, you might say, that Jesus had to be baptized. Well, if the purpose of baptism is that for the removal of sin, Jesus didn't have sin and Jesus is God. So why was Jesus baptized? Why was it necessary that he be baptized? So there's a number of arguments in there that are actually legitimate and correct, but some that are better than others. One is that he was baptized as an example for us, so that a model that we might follow. And we believe that's part of the life of Jesus, that we imitate the life of Jesus, right? We're Christians. We follow him. We follow his way of life. Another, and I think better, explanation of the necessity of Jesus' baptism. This comes from the early church fathers, that when we're baptized, the waters wash away our sin and generate new life, eternal life. Whereas when Jesus was baptized, he made the waters holy themselves. So we're made holy by the waters. He made the waters holy. So that's a pretty powerful and profound way of approaching the necessity of Jesus' baptism. Because what we're really getting here, we're talking about, is how God saves us, right? And this is something that a lot of people have distanced themselves from, at least an understanding of like how God actually saves us in a particular way. Just as we heard in that second reading about the necessity of baptism, right? The regeneration, the birth through the water. So God saves us through a sacramental system, and that essential first foundational sacrament is baptism. So the waters are necessary. Think about how the church approaches pastorally the necessity of baptism for each person. What happens in a situation in danger of death? Any person can be baptized, right? And what does the church teach as far as like how soon after birth should the child be baptized? As soon as possible. Because we take dead serious the fact that unless you're baptized by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so the early church fathers, when they explained it as Jesus making the waters holy, and that we're made holy by the waters, that powerfully connects to what baptism does for us and the necessity of baptism. I think just as good explanation of the necessity of Jesus' baptism, which and all of these are all of these reasons for Jesus' baptism, again, they are true. You can take up and embrace any of them, and all of them. Pope Benedict XVI speaks about how Jesus is with the people along the bank of the river, right on the bank of the Jordan. Prostitutes, tax collectors, the entirety of Jerusalem. Everybody's coming to John to be baptized. And what Pope Benedict says is, isn't it interesting that Jesus is just another person along the gray mass of people along the shore? You almost can't even distinguish him from the others. And really, John doesn't make much of a note of Jesus' baptism. He says, and Jesus was baptized with them, okay, by John. Well, what Pope Benedict is saying is that this is the point where he takes on complete solidarity with us in our sin. He completely identifies us with us in our sin and takes our sin upon himself and goes down into the depth of the water, because one sign of the water is destruction, right, and death. How did God destroy the world early on in the beginning? With the great flood, right? So so Jesus goes down into the water with the sinners. He identifies completely with us. And then what? He comes out of the water. He resurrects out of the water. And that now that he has taken us with him down into the death, he takes us up into the resurrection. And I think in order to really appreciate this way of understanding the necessity of Jesus' baptism, that he was baptized because It was at that moment that he completely identified with us as sinners, without sinning himself, and took upon our sin. We have to appreciate the notion of solidarity, that we can have a sharing in other people's joys and sufferings, a communion, you might say. And I think we can take like everyday examples as similarities to what happens on the spiritual plane, that Jesus can take our sins upon himself, since he took on a humanity, right, as the divine person. Sports games, they're a good example of the spirit of solidarity that can occur. You know, I know everybody's watching the Chiefs right now, right? And there's only 11 people on the field and probably 70 people that are suited up for the team. But if you talk to a Chiefs fan, they're just as serious as it, or a serious Chiefs fan. I have one brother-in-law that's like this. They're just as serious as the players, it seems like, right? And they're into it. Like, they're into the game, but they're not really in the game, right? There's a solidarity that's going on. I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., several times I had the opportunity to go to Gettysburg, and one thing that struck me was that how early on in the war the generals rode up front with the cavalry, a lot of generals were killed early on. Why did they do that? Because of this solidarity. That's powerful, that I have my commander with me, right? There's a communion that happens because of that. And so we can think of a number of examples on the everyday practical plane of experiences of being in communion and sharing an experience with another person. These are similarities that help us to understand that Christ was in complete solidarity with us, communion with us, as sinners. And so he's part of the gray mass, as Pope Benedict says, and can't even be distinguished from the other people because he takes all of our sins upon himself. That is so powerful of a truth for us in our faith, and it highlights the importance of baptism for us as Christians, because it is through this sacrament, through this water, that we truly die and rise. And so how many rites throughout the liturgical year do we bring in water to remind us of our own baptism? And every time we come into a church, what's part of our devotional life, what do? We dip our hands in the holy water fount, right? To remember that reference point, that most important point in which we died to sin and rose to new life. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to pour out profoundly a great awareness of this wonderful sacrament of baptism, in which Jesus made the waters holy this day, so much so that when we are baptized, Jesus looks upon, or God the Father looks upon us just as he looked upon his Son when we heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He looks upon us. This is how powerful baptism is. He looks upon us truly. "You, my son, you, my daughter, this is my child. This is my child in whom I am well pleased."